Precious Lord, we thank you for today, the opportunity that you have given to us to meet to share your word one more time. I pray that, Lord, you come and speak through your servant so that in the end, your name will be glorified. We thank you for the answered prayer. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. I'm going to speak on a topic, Christ entrance into Jerusalem. Christ's entrance into Jerusalem. Good. Thank you so much. And like you remember, we read Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And it's my prayer that by the end of this message, people will be encouraged. People will be ready to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, and other people will be ready to rededicate their lives to our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Today, this week is called a Passion Week. And what is a Passion Week? A Passion Week begins from today, being a Palm Sunday, to the Easter Sunday. And what does it entail? What is it about? Actually, what is it about? It's about the passion that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to come and die for you and me for free of charge to pay for our sins. And during the week, beginning from today to the Sunday, a lot of events happened, unfolded in the life or in the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For example, if you remember Luke chapter 19, verses 45 to 46, he just went and cleansed the temple. And if you remember, he gave profound teachings during this week. And not only that, he also ate his last supper with his disciples. And he just washed the feet of his disciples just to show humility. And not only that, he had a problem with his authority. And he also had to, go and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot. He was arrested and he was tried finally. And today is the first day of the Passion Week, which is Palm Sunday. So today is Palm Sunday, as we call it. And what actually happened today, being a Palm Sunday, we are going to look at it from the passage that we read. And I am going to speak on just two main points. The first point that we talk about or we speak about is Christ goes to Jerusalem as a king. Christ goes to Jerusalem as a king. This time around, Jesus Christ and his disciples are going to Jerusalem. And they go to a place. Jesus told the disciples that they should go ahead of them. In a village, they will see a donkey and her coat, tied over there. The disciples should go. He sent two disciples to go and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this time around, we see that Jesus did not use a horse. Remember, in those days, kings used horses, right? And those who were going for war also used horses. And this time, Jesus requested for just a horse, a donkey. And not only that, remember, he's going to borrow, right? The question is, why is it that Jesus, being the king, just going to borrow? He didn't have his own horse, a donkey. He didn't have all these things. Remember, Jesus requested for that donkey, not a horse, because Jesus, was not for war. And his kingship was not, or is not about worldly kingship. And why did he just go to borrow? Why is it that he couldn't buy his own horse, even a donkey? Not that he was not rich. to buy a donkey. Jesus could have ordered his disciples to go and even take money from the mouth of any fish to go and buy him an expensive donkey, horse, not even a donkey, for him to use. But he just went and borrowed. He just humbled himself. Or he became so poor so that you and I will be rich. He humbled himself to extend that he will be killed so that you and I will be saved. Praise the Lord. And the disciples became so obedient, or by obedience and faith, they went. And now remember, Jesus Christ told them that when you go and they ask you, tell them the Lord needs them. And truly, when they went, the two disciples went, actually, they asked them, where are you taking the donkey and her colt too? The disciples said what Jesus Christ told them to say. He said, the Lord needs them. Just by this statement, they allowed them to be taken to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the meaning here? What has happened here? It means that Jesus Christ is the provider of our security. It also means that Jesus Christ is the one who can calm every heart. And this time around, they have brought the donkey. And now, when they brought the donkey, Jesus sat on the donkey, began to ride on the donkey. What does it mean? What is the significance? What is Jesus trying to portray here? What is he saying here? He's trying to say that Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, is being fulfilled, that he is a king, and he is the king of the world, and he is the savior of the world. He is the king who controls our lives. He is a king who rules in our lives. He's the king who just take absolute control over our lives. So it means that Jesus is the king. Now, my brothers and sisters, are we ready to allow this king to control our lives? Are we ready to allow this king to take absolute control, to rule in our lives? Are we ready to say, Jesus, you with me? I am ready. I know you are the Savior. I have come. This is what you have brought to me, and I'm ready to surrender my life to you. Use me the way that you like. Are we ready to do that? I would like to tell you a story. There was a man, Jesus was going to stand in front of a church. So when he got to the front of the church, he saw another young man standing in front of that church. So that young man approached Jesus Christ. So when he approached Jesus Christ, he gave a report to him. Jesus Christ, you know what has happened to me? Jesus said, what is it about? Okay, I was worshiping with the people in the auditorium, in the church. We were worshiping together. But they just told me to get out of the church. They said I should walk out of the church. That's why I'm confused. That's why I'm crying. That's why I'm so disturbed. And I don't know, why should my own brothers just disregard me, just ask me to get out of the church that we were worshiping together? Jesus said, young man, I know. I can feel the way you are crying. I can understand you. But you know what? Me, as Jesus Christ, even they've just walked me to, out of the church. They've asked me to stay outside the church. How? Because me, as Jesus Christ, they don't allow me to be the king of their lives anymore. They don't let me rule in their life, over their life, and for them anymore. So if they have done this to me, and they have done this to you, it's okay. But I've realized that, young man, that you have allowed me to rule over your life, to rule in your life. So that's okay. Don't worry. Be encouraged. And my brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you are going. It doesn't matter. It could be that somebody has condemned you. You have been condemned to a stand that you don't even know what to do again. You are the sinner in the community. You are the worst sinner. They have given you all kinds of descriptions. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ did not just come to condemn you. He came and brought you salvation. He came and said, if only you allow him to control your life, he's ever ready. Salvation is for free. Salvation is today. I am ever ready to rule your life. If only you allow me to take absolute control over your life. That is what Jesus is trying to say here. In addition, let me tell you, he did not just come to criticize. It could happen. Let me tell you, in Luke chapter 7, verses 37, you know what happened? The Bible says that Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house. A Pharisee invited to his house. And they were just eating. And the Bible says that here was a woman, she just went into that house and she broke a perfume, a bottle, and she poured a bottle on the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisee who invited the Lord Jesus Christ began to criticize the woman. And Jesus Christ, he said, "What? How can you allow this prostitute in this country, in this city? Everybody knows that this woman is a prostitute. Why should you allow her to even touch you?" I think this man is not a rape prophet. He's not a true prophet. He is not a true prophet. Because if he's a true prophet, he shouldn't have allowed this woman to... Because this woman is not plain. Kind of criticism. But I want to tell you that our Jesus did not just come to criticize you. People may criticize you, but I want to tell you that Jesus will say, "I am going to forgive you your sin. I don't care what has gone on in your life. For me, I came so that you will get salvation." People are criticizing you, but for me, I want to tell you that I'm ready to give you salvation for free, and you are not going to pay for this. That is what Jesus is doing today. He just started the journey to Jerusalem. He is going to die, and he's saying that I am going to die for my people. I was reflecting on this message, and I was thinking of that Jesus didn't know the kind of agony, the kind of beatings, the kind of pains, the kind of situation that these people would take him through. He knew it. He knew what was going to happen to him on Friday. But he decided to go and die for you and me. Look at the love that Jesus has for you and me. Look at the love. Just imagine. Jesus knew he would... I was reflecting on it. I said, how about Mary? You know, women here, you can understand me. When it comes to your children, sometimes women, you cannot stand if your child is going through this agony. If you hear your child screaming, they have been chastised, they are beating him so that, you know, we cannot even look at it with your naked eyes. So painful and bleeding all the blood, everything, just screaming. I don't think if a woman here, your child or your son is going through that, you would jump and say, "Kill me rather. I am not going to allow you to kill my son that way. I cannot stand this pain. This is too much for me." No. And if you're a woman here, maybe you unless people come around you and hold you, if not, you cannot stand. Right, woman? Am I right? It's not easy that you allow your child, your son to go through that. But Jesus knew all this. Said maybe when he was going to die, he just tapped, "Mom, I know you go through a lot. The pain, I don't want to touch a lady. I wanted to touch it, but let me touch him." "Mom, I know I'm going to die, but just allow me so that I can accomplish my mission. I know what you're going through. I know when I'm screaming, you cannot even stand on your feet, Mom. I know that when you see the pain or you notice the pains that I am going through, you cannot stand. But Mom, let me go and accomplish my mission." Look at the love that Jesus has for us. Look at the love. Just imagine the kind of love that he has for us. This is Jesus Christ. He has set forth his son. He's ever ready to give us salvation. Are we ready? Never mind what somebody has said. People may not even be ready to come and sit by you because they have seen that you are a sinner. You are the one that Jesus loves. You are the one that he loves you so much. Because he came that you and I, our sins will be forgiven. Jesus loves him. And all that he wants you and me to do is very simple. That he wants us to surrender all, give our lives and be ready and say, Lord, use me. I am ready. Use me the way you like, God. I have just surrendered all. I have given out my heart to you. Lord, use me. This is the time. This is the day. Lord, I know I can feel what you went through because of me. And this is the time that, Lord, me too, I have to surrender. I've given you my heart. I've given you my soul. I've given you my spirit. Everything about me, Lord, I have given to you. So, Lord, use me. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. Sometimes, maybe it's not happening here. It's not happening here. Some people use the blood of Jesus. I say they use the blood of Jesus to curse you, right? Who has ever heard that before? They use the blood of Jesus to curse. I correct that theology. That is a wrong theology. Because the blood of Jesus redeems. The blood of Jesus saves. The blood of Jesus does the right thing. The blood of Jesus doesn't do anything bad. The blood of Jesus doesn't curse. It gives something good. It gives something bad. I mean, something good, not something bad. The blood of Jesus. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die for you and me. Let's look at it because we don't have so much time. Let's look at our next point. Now, Jesus is riding on the donkey, right? And what was the response of the crowd? So the next point is the response of the crowd. The response of the crowd. Remember, the crowd accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their king. They accepted Jesus Christ, I mean, Jesus' award, kingship. Not only that, they gave him honor. What kind of honor is that? You know, remember, they spread their garment on the road for Jesus to walk on them. Not only that, they spread the branches, palm branches or tree branches on the road. What does it mean? It means that, no, remember, during their Feast of Tabernacle, they were doing that. And what does it mean? It means glory. It means honor. It means salvation. It means respect. So the people were saying that. I mean, the people were speaking. What all that they were saying was that our Savior has come. Our glory has come. Our favor has come. Our time has come. We are ready because this is our time. So they were speaking a language. Not only that, they were praising the Lord. We praise you. Maybe my sister, you are the one who can describe this very, my sister Nicole, very, very well. You know, the kind of praises that we're just giving to him. We praise you. We worship you. Oh, you are my God. You are our God. A kind of praises, I mean, that they were just giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were saying, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Do you know the meaning of Hosanna? Save now. Save what? Now. Not only that, they were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And said, blessed be the name of the Lord, and be the one who will come in the name of what? Or the Lord. Let's look at the other one. The question is, why were they praising the Lord Jesus Christ that way? And the other people were not also doing that. Now, let's deal with this. If you read verses 10 to 11, verses 10 to 11, let's read it. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Underline that. The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Indeed, Jesus Christ is a prophet. But we cannot compare him with any other prophet, right? Because he's a great prophet. And he's the savior at the same time. Now, these people were standing aloof. I believe when I say they stand aloof, you understand me. They were reserved. They distanced themselves and they were asking, who is this? In other words, they did not involve themselves in whatever they were doing. So it means they missed the salvation. The opportunity for their salvation, they missed it. They didn't get it. Because they were not ready to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior. They were not ready to accept that Jesus Christ is their Savior. So they were standing aloof. Who is this? I can imagine the way a man asked their question. Who is this? Maybe the woman can do it better. Who is this? So they missed the opportunity. Now, what prevented them from missing this opportunity of their salvation? I ask the question again. What prevented them from missing this great opportunity for them to receive the salvation? Maybe number one, unbelief. Unbelief. They didn't mind, they didn't care, they were not ready to accept that Jesus Christ is their Savior and allow Him to be the King of their lives. Maybe number two, hardening of their heart. No, maybe they knew, they knew that really Jesus Christ is there, but they hardened their heart so that they would never be ready to move forward to receive the salvation that was right at their doorstep. Two things. Now, I'm asking you a question. My brother, including me, what is preventing me? What is preventing you this time around from receiving the salvation that Jesus is ever ready to give to you and me? What is preventing you? What is preventing me? Is it sin? I just want to encourage you that if only you surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how people see you as a sinner. He's able to forgive you all your sins and cleanse you from anything which is not righteous. Our Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious. What is preventing you from receiving a salvation? Is it fear? I want to tell you. If only you allow Jesus Christ to take absolute control over your life, be the King of your life, allow Him and say, Jesus, I am giving you my heart. I am giving you everything. Use me. Take control over my life. I tell you, is it not possible He can take away the fear? Is it not possible? He's the one who can calm down every storm. He can do anything. So if He's the King of your heart, if He's the King of your life, so it means that it is also possible that the fear that you are going through, that has been disturbing you in your life, He can take it away. What is preventing you from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, including me? Troubles in this world? I want to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ has already conquered the world, and the world has no power on you again. If only you give your life to Him and say, Lord, I have surrendered all. I am giving my life to you. Use me the way that you like. Jesus has conquered the world. You don't have peace? He said, I am leaving you out peace. And the peace that I'm giving to you is not from what? From the world. See, even if the whole world, it doesn't matter what kind of missiles, what kind of fighting here in Iraq, if the whole world wants peace, then it means that we must all pray Jesus Christ for the whole world to receive Christ. Because He's the one who can give us peace. So if you want peace and you allow Jesus Christ to rule over your life, it means that He's the one who can give you the best peace. He has the best peace. Many people are billionaires. They are rich, riding big cars. You don't have peace. Jesus is the one who can give you peace. He's the one who can give me peace. All of us. So what is preventing you from receiving this salvation that is right at your doorstep today? What is it? Troubles? Somebody has disappointed you? That boy, that man decided that he will marry you and he disappointed you, and because of that you are saying, Jesus, bye-bye? What is preventing you? Hurt? Pains? That should not be a barrier for your salvation. Unbelief became the barrier for the people. hardening of the heart became a barrier for the people. So they were not able to receive their salvation. I don't know what has been your barrier. I don't know what is preventing you from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to die for you and me. It doesn't matter what he'll be going through. He has decided that he's going to die for you and me. What is preventing you? My brothers and sisters in the Lord, we must look beyond any barrier. We must look beyond any pain. We must look beyond any hurt. We must look beyond any kind of situation, the challenges that we are going through in life. We must look beyond all kinds of problems, the hurt, what somebody has done to you that have been a problem, the way you have been crying. We must look beyond all that and decided to give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, use me the way you like. Use me the way you like. Let's look beyond that. Jesus has stretched forth his hand. He said, are you ready? I am going to die. Are you ready to receive the salvation that I have for you? I am not imposing my salvation on you. If already you surrender on and say, this is the time that I also have to surrender. I want to give my life to you. On to Jesus I surrender, all to thee I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. I thank you for everything. I know that, Lord, you have touched us, you have spoken to us. In spite of all that you are going to go through, you have decided. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.